That's Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 24. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires.
Is everybody sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Once upon a time, there was a little girl named Anya. Her mother and father had died, and she lived all alone in a windy city that was ruled by an evil emperor. And one of the evil things he did was he took all the food for himself and left the people hungry. He chopped down all the trees, he burnt all the crops, and he locked away all the seeds so no one could grow anything to eat. And all the fields were overgrown with thorns and thistles, and people had to beg the evil emperor for food, and he loved that because it made them his slaves. And every Friday morning, the emperor would leave a crate of food in the square, but not very nice food. It was tins of cabbage soup, it was pickled eggs, and it was Marmite. And there was never enough. So people fought over what there was. And it meant the city was a very dangerous place. Because each person became selfish. Because each person was on the lookout for number one. And if you had a tin of soup, and somebody who was bigger than you saw you with a tin of soup, do you know what they would do? They would beat you up and take your tin of soup. And people were afraid of one another. And Anya used to go through the bins at night to eat the scraps she could scrape together. It was a miserable city to live in. Until one happy day when a new king took charge. He was a brave king. He'd fought the evil emperor by himself. People said you could still see the scars in his hands, the wounds from the fight. And he was a good king, because the reason he had come was to set them free. Instead of being a city where people took and fought, he wanted his city to be a place where people gave and shared. Instead of fields of thorns and thistles, he wanted his city to be full of gardens of raspberries and plums. I won't eat all of them. So he sent his messengers out into the streets, and the messengers declared, "Hear this! The king has come to make all things new. By order of the king, we summon the citizens of the city to serve as the king's gardeners." Now, some people didn't really want to know. Some people said, "Well, I don't want to serve as the king's gardener. I thought he'd come to set us free. That doesn't sound like freedom to me. Gardening? Anya, she thought of how mean the people were, how hungry the people were. She thought of the tears she had cried under the evil emperor. And she thought of how this king was brave and how this king was good. She'd heard about the scars. And she thought how wonderful it would be to see the gardens of the city full of raspberries and plums. She couldn't remember the last time she'd eaten a raspberry. So she thought to herself, yes, yes, I want to be one of the king's gardeners, yes. And she ran straight up to the nearest weeds and she tried to pull them out, but she couldn't. So she tried to hack down some of the brambles that were over the wall, but she couldn't reach up high enough. And she looked at the thistles and the thorns and she didn't really know where to start. She felt so small. The king's called us to be gardeners, but I can't do it. Maybe other people can, she thought, but I can't. And that night, she cried herself to sleep. She wanted so much to join in with what the king was doing, but she couldn't. The next day, she bumped into a friend of hers. And the friend said, Anya, Anya, I'm one of the king's gardeners. And Anya said, you, one of the king's gardeners? What do you know about gardening? And her friend said, well, I don't know anything about gardening. But when you write to the king and say you want to serve him, well, the king sends someone to help you. So that day she wrote to the king. She said, thank you so much for coming to set us free. I really want to be one of your gardeners. P.S. I would love there to be raspberries and plums. She sent the letter off, and the very next day, there was a knock at the door. Hello, she said. Who are you? Well, I'm your helper. I've come from the king to help you to be one of the king's gardeners, said the helper. Let's get to work. Well, the king had given Anya a garden to work on. And this time, when she pulled the weeds, the helper helped her and she got them all out. And it was great. And when she reached up to cut the brambles, the helper gave her a hand. And she said, well, I don't really know where to start. I don't know anything about gardening. And the helper showed her what to do. The helper even gave her a very special book, which he helped her to understand. And it wasn't long before the garden started to look really different. But it was quite hard work. There are some days when she was asleep and she didn't really want to wake up. And there'd be a knock on the door and the helper would say, wake up, Anya, wake up. And she would say, I don't want to go to the garden. And she would, and the helper would say, but you're the king's gardener. You've got to go. No, not today. And do you know what the helper would do? The helper would come in and pull her covers off and tickle her toes to wake her up. Some days she'd get so frustrated, she would clear a whole patch free of weeds. And a week later, would you believe it? The weeds were back. She thought, what's the point? What's the point? I'm no good at this. I'm no good at this. Perhaps I'm not really much of a gardener to the king. And so the helper said to her, well, look, this is gardening. This is how it works. The weeds are going to keep coming, but the gardener's job is to keep rooting the weeds out. Now, there was this one type of weed which was very pretty. It had very pretty flowers. And Anya didn't want to root it out. And the king's helper said, yeah, you do actually need to pull that one out. So she said, but it's pretty. I like it. Well, it is pretty, but it is a weed. And it will spread everywhere. And it will choke the fruit. And there'll be no raspberries. Oh, right, she said. Well, let's attack it then. I want raspberries. And over time, instead of thistles and thorns, there grew beautiful, beautiful fruit. And every day she would go home with a basketful like this. And it was wonderful. And as more and more people grew fruit in their gardens, instead of people fighting over food, people would give each other raspberries. and share out their plums. And you see, it used to be a city where everyone was afraid, but the king had set them free. And friends, that is the Christian life. Our lives were full of thistles and thorns. Look at the list of thistles and thorns in verse 19 to 21. I'm just going to read a couple of them out. There's hatred. There's hatred. People say, I never want to see you again. There's selfish ambition. People say, I want to come first. I want to be top, and I want to beat you. There are factions. People say, oh, we're not friends with you anymore. No, because you're not like us, you see. You're not cool. You're not in. You're out. There's envy. People say, oh, I wish I lived in a house like theirs. And it eats you up. Thistles and thorns. But Jesus is the king who's come to set us free. One of the questions we've asked as we've worked our way through this book, Galatians, is free to do what? Free to do our own thing? Free to do whatever we want? No, free to serve the king. Free to grow fruit. And do you see what this fruit is like? Have a look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me just pick a bit of that out. Love, which means even if they're not your friend, even if they make it very hard, you go on doing what is best for them. Patience, even if they keep messing up, you don't give up on them. Faithfulness means you keep your promises so that people know they can depend upon you. And can I ask a question? When you look at that fruit, who does it remind you of? Who does it remind you of?
Adam and Eve.
Well, it kind of sends you back to Adam and Eve and the whole story with the fruit there. Yeah, I like that idea. What about this list? This someone who's love, who's joy, who's peace, who's patient, who's kind. Who do you know like that? I think you're right, Jesus. Isn't this what Jesus is like? That's freedom. That's freedom. Not just free to do whatever you want, free to serve him, to grow fruit for him, to be like him. Imagine a world of people who are like Jesus. That would be a world of people who are free. Because that would be a world of people living as they were created to live. Now, would you rather I gave you some thorns? Can't quite pick them up because they're so... Ow, ow, ow. Would you rather I gave you some thorns or would you rather I gave you a raspberry? You'd rather the raspberry. Okay, come and see me afterwards. I'll give you a raspberry. And the question is this. Would you rather a life of thistles and thorns or raspberries and plums? And maybe you're thinking, well, I'd love to be one of the king's gardeners. I'd love to grow this sort of fruit. I'd love to become more like Jesus, but I can't. Perhaps you're thinking of someone who's hard to love. And you think, I can't love like this. Yes, you can. Because the king has sent his helper, the Holy Spirit. Do you see verse 16? Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Living by the Spirit is not a special experience that some Christians have. All the king's servant have been sent a helper, the Spirit. It used to be me in charge of my life. And when I was in charge of my life, I didn't really know how to live. I didn't really know how to love. But now the Spirit of God is in charge of my life. And he's leading me and giving me power to love in ways I never could before. Oh, by ourselves, we can't do it. But he can. And he's at work setting us free from thistles and thorns to raspberries and plums. While you were singing, Anya was talking to me about one or two questions she had about some of these things about growing fruit for the king. And she just wondered whether she could get your help on some of them. And the first one, can you tell them, everyone, the first... I was just going to say it to me and I'm going to say it to everyone, okay? So it's the first... Yeah, no, that's a good question. That's a good question. So Anya's saying there are days when she finds gardening really hard. And she comes home shattered. And all that work and the weeds still come back. And it makes her worry. It makes her wonder whether she really is one of the king's gardeners. Now, I just wonder whether you could think what you'd say to her to encourage her. So turn to the person next to you and just say, what would you say to help Anya, who's really worried? It's such hard work. It makes her think maybe she's not one of the king's gardeners. What would you say to her? See if we can pull the wisdom of the room. Okay. Who's got some wisdom for Anya? Who's got some wisdom? Who could say something that will encourage her when she's finding it really hard? Have you got some wisdom? Who's got some wisdom? Anyone of any age? Go on, wisdom at the back there. What have you got to say to encourage her? Speak it into the microphone.
Always never give up when you feel alone.
Okay, don't give up. Don't give up with gardening. That's one of the things about gardening, isn't it? You can't give up. What else would you say to her? It's so hard. Any other wisdom for her? Okay, let's look at verse 17, Galatians chapter 5. In the Christian life, it is very hard sometimes. It's a real struggle. Sins keep coming back. And we worry sometimes, maybe because I'm not a Christian. But look at the battle that's described in verse 17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Do you see, there's a battle, and do you see who is fighting? It's the sinful nature, which is the sinful, selfish me, against the spirit. And what happens is you annoy me, and the sinful, selfish me wants to cut you down with my sharp tongue. That's what I want. But the Spirit, he wants me to be patient with you. So there's a battle going on between what the sinful, selfish me wants and what the Spirit wants. And over time, the Spirit changes my heart so that I want what Jesus wants. But it's a battle. And friends, maybe you feel it is a battle. And you're thinking of the things you do and the things you don't want to do. And you think, well, maybe I'm not even a Christian. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Before you were a Christian, it wasn't even a battle. You didn't even care. You just went along with what you wanted to do. You let the weeds grow. The fact that you're fighting the weeds now shows the Spirit is at work. The gardening is going on, and any gardener will tell you, you've got to keep going. It's a constant battle. You're always fighting weeds when you're gardening. You're never done. There's a second question that Anya wanted to ask. Yeah, we'll do the same thing again. It's, good. That's a good question. Another good question. She's right on the ball. She thinks she would really like to leave some of the pretty weeds because they're so pretty. Why does she have to root the pretty weeds out? What would you say to her? How would you advise her? Again, talk to your friend. How would you advise Anya, who wants to leave the pretty weeds? Those pretty white ones with the lovely flowers. Okay, who's got some wisdom for Anya? What's your wisdom? What would you say to her?
Kill the weeds. Kill the weeds. Good advice. But
they're so pretty. Why should I kill the weeds? They're so pretty.
Keep it in a pot. Away from everything else.
Keep what, the weeds? Yeah, get the weeds away from everything else. Why would you get the weeds away? Why would you want to get rid of the weeds? They're lovely, they're pretty. I'm slightly out of my depth here, horticulturally, so just can anyone help me? Why would you get rid of weeds? Why would you get rid of weeds, Nicholas?
I'm way out of my depth as well, but they will choke the fruit that you want.
Yeah, you want. They may look pretty, but they will choke the fruit. Do you see what Paul says in... Well, it's verses 19 and 20. Do you ever think a little bit of envy? That'd be all right.
A little bit of selfish ambition, a little bit of impurity, just a little bit, no problem, surely. The king says, cut it out. There is no place for it in the fruit garden. It's a weed. It will choke the fruit. Do you see what he says in verse 21? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't fit with growing fruit for the king. Do you see what he says in verse 24? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. As you probably know, crucifixion is what they did to dangerous rebels. They nailed them to a cross so that they died. And if I'm a Christian and I belong to Jesus and I'm a servant of the king, then my selfish self is a dangerous rebel. And when you see that, God says, take action, like crucifixion. Say, no more selfish self. I am the servant of the king. And maybe there's someone here and you've never done that. Not decisively. You want the raspberries and the plums. Who wouldn't want the raspberries and the plums? But you kind of want the thorns and the thistles as well. You want to serve the king in some things, but in other things you quite want to be a rebel against the king. Brothers and sisters, you can't be a rebel and a servant at the same time. See the sinful, selfish self for what it is. Put it to death and turn to serve the king. There's another question that Anya wanted to ask. Was this the one about the... Okay. Okay, right. Anya says she's worried. She's worried because there's not that much fruit in the garden, and she's thinking of the cherry tree. And this year, there were only 17 cherries on the cherry tree. Apparently last year there were 5, and the year before that there wasn't even a cherry tree, was there? No, but there are only 17 cherries on the cherry tree, and she's worried that perhaps is she really doing the right stuff, the right thing? So can anyone help her? She's worried. There doesn't seem to be much fruit. Turn to your friend, wisdom for Anya. There doesn't seem to be much fruit, only 17 cherries on the cherry tree. How would you encourage her? Who has got some wisdom for Anya? Have you got some wisdom for Anya? Michael, have you got some wisdom for Anya? Yeah. What's your wisdom?
There's still some fruit.
There's still some fruit. Okay, Anya, see, Michael said it. There's still some fruit. Yeah? Because what was there 2 years ago?
There was no fruit, Mike.
Yeah, there was no fruit. There was no fruit. There was no tree. And there were 5 cherries the year before, and there are 17 cherries now. And the point is, making us more like Jesus is like growing fruit. And growing fruit is slow. So there are only 17 cherries, but last year there were 5, and the year before that, there wasn't even a tree. And brothers and sisters, we worry, don't we? We say, well, will I ever change? So slow. The Spirit is at work. He is changing you. He's making you more like Jesus. It doesn't all happen by next Wednesday. Growing fruit is slow. But if you are his, he is at work. And actually, what often happens is your friends can see the fruit, sometimes more than you can. We're not what we will one day be when he's finished, but we're not what we once were. There once wasn't even a cherry tree. Be lovely if in the week ahead we found a way perhaps to encourage one another, send one another a note or a text, or just, you know, look one another in the eye and say, actually, you know, here are some of the ways in which you are changing, you are becoming more like Jesus. Be a wonderful thing to hear if you're a bit like Anna, you're a bit discouraged, you're a bit discouraged that there aren't many cherries. So, Jesus has set us free. Not free to do whatever we want, but instead of thistles and thorns, it's free to grow raspberries and plums. It's free to be like him. That's freedom. That's freedom. Don't you long for more of that? Don't you long to be more like him?
Together we pray, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the King who is brave and good. Thank you that you died to set me free. I want to serve you. I want to be more like you, but I can't do it alone. By your Spirit, please help me to fight the thistles and thorns and grow more fruit in me. Amen. I've got three questions here. I don't quite understand what the first question is getting at. It says, Mike, is that your doll? It wouldn't be a problem if it was my doll. Would that be a problem for anyone? I'll move on. Here's a question. Why does it have to be a battle? Why can't Jesus just make us new and perfect? That's a really good question, isn't it? Why is it a battle? Why is it so slow? The answer to that is the Christian life is about a relationship. It's about the Lord Jesus helping us to become like him, teaching us to want the things that he wants. And in any friendship you have or relationship you're in, you don't just all of a sudden know everything about that person and everything they want. You have to learn about them slowly. So when you become a Christian, the Lord Jesus doesn't sort of flick a switch in the back of our heads and suddenly make us like him. No, over time, he's teaching us more of his ways. And that's how relationships work. They're not flicking a switch. They're over time. And that's the battle, you see. It's the battle. I still want to do the things I want to do, but I'm learning over time to do the things he wants me to do. Not a flick of a switch. And what's this last question? How do we walk in the Spirit? Well, we're going to look at that a little bit more next week in verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, which is what he's been talking about, he's been encouraging us that we're not alone, we have the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Do you see the picture he's painting there? Let us keep in step. It's like when someone goes, walk straight ahead, and then they say, turn right, and they say, turn left. You're keeping in step with what they say. You're walking in the direction they're telling you to walk in. You say, well, how do we know what direction the Spirit wants us to walk in? Well, do you remember what we said earlier, that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God? How does the Spirit tell me to turn left or to... Whoa! That's a very dramatic entrance. Thank you. Let me come on to that question in a moment. Where was I? How do I know whether the Spirit wants me to turn left or turn right? How do I know how the Spirit wants me to treat you? What the Spirit wants? I read the Word of God. And I keep in step with and keep in line with what he says in his book, the Bible. And that's why people who never read their Bible, they never really know what he wants. And he feels very distant and very remote from them. But people who read the Bible every day, they get to learn about the things that he loves and the things that he hates, and they walk in line with it day by day. We'll think about that a little bit more next week. And what was this question? How did the evil emperor get so mean? That is a very profound and philosophical question, which I'm going to save till over tea.